You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a just spectacular Wednesday afternoon in West Knoxville, live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Here we go. Another monster show lined up for you this afternoon. Rick Butler's out here with me. Good afternoon, Rick. How are you, sir?
Hello, my friend. I'm doing great. Good to hear you're doing good. And you're right, we got a beautiful day outside. Feels good.
We got a lot to talk about. Bear is back in the Fan Run studio. Jake Miller is helping out as well. It is a total team effort this afternoon. Bear, you doing all right?
I am not doing bad at all, Russ. I'm actually kind of surprised that I was able to get you guys on air.
I'm not surprised at all. I knew it was going to go smoothly. It's 3:04. It's a little bit late. Maybe a couple of people out there getting a little nervous. Where are they? Are they coming on? Are they doing the thing? Yeah, we're doing the thing. Don't you fret. As ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news right off the top. Bear, can you take us to the Fan Run breaking news desk to get things started here? Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser in Louisiana, reporting that LSU's baseball coaching search is down to 3 finalists. Oh, hold me, Rick Butler.
All right, give them to me.
Here we go. Here we go. 3. Arizona coach Jay Johnson.
Not a bad choice.
East Carolina coach Cliff Godwin. And Notre Dame coach Link Jarrett.
You
thought it was going to be Tony V, didn't you?
Yes.
So what? Is that the end of the list, boys?
I mean, that's the 3 finalists, according to Glenn Gilbo.
I kind of feel like there's somebody missing that those dullards down at Tiger Droppings have been talking about for the past 48 hours.
Well, let's hope that this ends it. And I was just talking to Trey Wallace off the air. I think he's got some insight onto the Vitello, Tennessee side of the negotiations, and he's going to join us in about 15 minutes live on the air. And I said yesterday after the ball game, I would expect that this wraps up quickly in terms of some sort of announcement resolution to Vitello's status, talking in the next 24 to 48 hours. And I still think that could be the case. I think we could know something as early as tonight, and certainly I think tomorrow. I can't imagine that it's going to drag on much longer. I would be stunned if we don't have some sort of announcement by the weekend.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, Russ. I think this definitely kind of speeds up the timetable a little bit, and at least we know where LSU is reportedly at. And so again, that kind of allows us to be thinking in different directions when it does come to Tony Vitello. I don't know if you got to see this as well, but just about 13 minutes ago, somebody tweeted Kellyanne Stitz of WATE. She tweeted out a video of Tony Vitello right off the bus of Omaha, right over greeting the fans, signing the baseballs for kids. So he looks to be in a good mood now back in Knoxville.
That's pretty cool, man. The team just got back from Omaha today, and they drove over to Lindsey Nelson Stadium, that left field parking lot area, and there are a bunch of fans on hand to greet them. So, yeah, hopefully this is a situation where they're going to meet tonight and hammer something out, get something in writing, and move forward. And we can put this, is Vitello leaving storyline behind us. And I think that for Tennessee fans, I mean, that's going to be a big win heading into – and it'll – listen, I've pretty much almost already processed the – I don't even want to call it a failure, the disappointment of not advancing in Omaha. I stand by what I said last week. It was just gravy making it. Was it disappointing not to perform well out there? Yes, but we were one of eight teams that made it to the College World Series in Omaha. I think is a fantastic season for Tennessee baseball. It's one of my favorite teams to have covered in the past 20 years or so that we've been doing radio here. I put them right up there with the 2019 basketball team and the 2004 football team as far as teams that didn't win championships, but were just a lot of fun to watch and see develop and compete throughout the season. Having Vitello locked up and sealed for Tennessee for the next couple of seasons and moving forward with the stadium renovation and all that stuff, I think it's exciting stuff and exciting time to be a part of Tennessee baseball.
No, I'm totally with you right there. Look, Russ, you asked yesterday at the beginning of the show, what is next for this Tennessee team, for the Tennessee program? And I think we all three agreed in unison. The conversation starts and ends with the head coach's contract. And so I think now that we can maybe move in a direction where we feel a little bit more confident today, man, I think this just totally opens up the conversation this offseason, and people will really start getting excited once that next season starts rolling around.
If you want to talk Tennessee baseball, we're going to have plenty of opportunity to do that with you this afternoon. I know that we weren't on our usual time slot yesterday. We did go from about 5 to 7 p.m. here on Fan Run Radio and kind of processed things. And you can go back and listen to that podcast from yesterday if you want to. We're also going to visit with our friend Aaron Torres. It's been a while since we've had him on the show, so always looking forward to connect with Aaron. And a lot to get to. We're live this afternoon, folks. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, one of our favorite places to do a live show. I'll always love coming in here because it's the complete opposite of the Fan Run studios. I don't mean to knock on the studios, but I mean, there are no windows in there. It could be a beautiful day and you wouldn't know it when there's beautiful storming outside. And then here we're in this beautiful showroom with just, you know, huge windows all the way around. And we can just kind of sit here and look at the trees and bask.
Sit here and stare at that orange Mustang out there.
Sit here and stare at the orange Mustang. Sit here and stare at the new 2022 Mitsubishis. That's right, not 2021. The 2022s are already here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. And we had, at one point, three of the new Outlanders right out front here as they were working deals on them. These things are going like hotcakes. Why not, man? These are fantastic cars. Seven-seater SUVs. With all the features, man. You got your Apple CarPlay, you got your LED lights, you've got everything, the lanes departure warning, the cruise control that adapts as you go along in different speeds on the highways. I mean, this is the cutting edge of modern auto technology. And I don't know if you've heard, but there are a lot of places out there struggling to get new cars. Not here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. They have a great selection of, as I said, new Outlanders, the Mirage, the Eclipse. It's all here for you at Old Ben Franklin Motors. If you want to come and take a free test drive today, hey, they've also got an incredible truck selection. I was admiring that on the way
yeah.
here today.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great truck selection today at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Cars, SUVs, vans, trucks. We've got them all for you this afternoon. 9711 Kingston Pike, where we are. It's a beautiful day to come on down to Old Ben and make a deal. Right across from Franklin Square and the Chop House, we're here till 6, and the first couple of folks who roll in here to say they're listening to Fan Run Radio are going to get free Smokies tickets. I've got family four packs, free Smokies tickets. You want to take the family up and enjoy a little free baseball and your friends at Fan Run Radio. Come on out to 9711 Kingston Pike, Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville this afternoon. It was a pretty great sports evening last night. If you're a fan, you had the Mississippi State game. That had kind of a wild finish towards the end there. You had really a bizarre situation in Major League Baseball with Max Scherzer and the Nationals, Joe Girardi and the Phillies getting into it. This was a little bit of overkill, wasn't it? I understand they're cracking down on the foreign substances and everything, but really, we're going to check the guy three times in a game. We're going to get on him for running his fingers through his hair and everything. I mean, is this really what baseball fans want to see?
Man, I don't know if you saw it, but the guy from the Oakland Athletics, I don't know his name right now, but he one-upped Max Scherzer last night late because they're playing on the West Coast. He dropped the drawers. Did you see this guy right here?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. Let me
So here he goes.
Oh, he's undoing the belt, and he's going, wow. That's
There you go, play-by-play of this guy, again, dropping the drawers on the Major League Baseball diamond.
Pants not all the way to the ground, but definitely like mid-thigh, I would say. That's got to be an awkward feeling in front of about 40,000 people.
I don't know if I've ever seen any group of players so fed up with the rule
this
quickly that they are they're disrobing right there on their playing field.
They're not happy about it.
No.
Well, part of the problem, boys, is that Joe Girardi was being a jerk to Scherzer. And that was the third time he had requested the umpires check him. And then I think I sent you guys the tweet. The funniest part about it was Trey Turner, his expression on his face. He was standing behind Scherzer, and it was, you know, we kind of talked about it yesterday with, you know, you said something about Russ, like when I lose my temper and you're trying to get things settled down, but you still think I'm kind of funny.
Well, there's a great picture of Vitello yesterday when Kivett got thrown out, and he's talking to the umpires as Kivett is raging in the background, and Vitello just has this grin on his face.
Evil,
like he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I could empathize with Tony in that situation, but there was one of those guys in the Phillies game last night.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Trey Turner was like right behind Scherzer when he undid his belt, and he was just look on his face was like, holy crap, Scherzer's getting ready to drop his pants here.
Man.
But then
did
you see what happened after it? I guess it was at the end of that inning. Scherzer stared Girardi down and got Girardi to lose his cool, and then Girardi got ran.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
I did not either.
Oh, you got to go back and look. It was one of the best stare downs I've seen. He just dead eyed him from the pitcher's mound all the way to his dugout, and Girardi went crazy.
He learned it from Tony V. I mean, that's his guy, right? Tony recruited him to Mizzou, 15 years ago?
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. So he learned from the best.
File that under things that make total sense now.
So did you guys see what Clayton Kershaw had to say? He suggested basically that managers should now lose a replay challenge or at least be penalized in some kind of way because you can't. Like, they're 2 days into the rule and you already got a manager basically sending the umpires out every chance he can get. Do you think there's got to be some kind of balance or do you think
they're going to have to tweak it, man. You can't have umpires ordering the umpires to search these pitchers,
at
man.
At will.
Yeah, that's silly. And for a game that they're always talking about, ways to speed up the game, it doesn't seem like this is doing much to speed up the game. But, hey, I like it, man. There's a little bit of pro wrestling flavor in there, of the foreign objects in the ring. And
the blades under the wrist tape.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy it as a storyline. And then last night, the late show in the NBA, man, with a – phenomenal finish. And you talk about slowing down the game. I mean, let's stop the game every 30 seconds. Let's turn the last 2 minutes of the game into an hour-long affair. That was a lot of fun, but worth it for the end. Paul George, choking at the free throw line. I mean, what else are you going to call it? Missing two free throws that could have at least put his team up three, and then the Suns with an alley-oop dunk. DeAndre Ayton with 0.9 seconds left on the clock. How do you let him throw it to the rim?
I don't know.
It's a total meltdown by the Clippers. NBA action is fantastic.
Did you know the final 2 minutes of gameplay between the Clippers and the Suns last night? You said it took a long time. How about this for a long time? 33 real-time minutes.
It felt twice as long.
33
it felt like an hour.
Minutes to get through those final two. I was almost falling asleep. I needed them to get go ahead and finish it.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
But
guys,
it was worth it.
Stuff to do.
It was worth the finish.
All right, we'll talk about that with Aaron Torres a little bit later. Get his picks for the NBA Finals. You got the Hawks-Bucks game one tonight in Milwaukee coming up here in just a minute. You don't get Rick's a little bit baffled by my Wayne's World reference. It's only 30 years old now, Rick Bear. You get Alice Cooper.
School's
you come
out.
Here back often.
Oh, yeah.
Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the beautiful land.
Yeah. Alice Cooper, Renaissance
man. Does this guy know how to party or what?
Right over my head, but I'll look it up. I'll look it up. It sounds interesting.
You've never heard of Alice Cooper?
He's never heard of Wayne's World.
I'm in on Wayne's World. I just haven't seen it.
How can you be in on something if you haven't seen it, you dullard?
Yeah, I feel like that's contradictory.
Kind of feel like this is one of those classic Russ, Bear, and Rick moments where you realize that you've exposed your stomach to us and you're trying to avoid us sticking knives in it, tell you the truth. Well, just go ahead and own it. You don't know what Wayne's World is.
It just makes me feel dated.
It's quite the Saw reference right there.
Stay tuned. The drive continues. We get Trey Wallace in here. Tony Vitello, are we closer to resolution there and news on a new contract with the Volunteers? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it next right here. Live from Old Ben Franklin Motors, it's Fan Run Radio. You want to come out and say hello this afternoon. Let's bring in Trey Wallace from Rocky Top Insider. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
I am good. Kind of soaking up my last day in Omaha. And, I think I'm going to go watch a little college baseball tonight. Just kind of wrap up the trip out here, buddy. I'm good.
You notice, Rick, both Bear and Trey today, when I ask them how they're doing, there's an awkward pause, and then they go, I am good.
Like, yeah, it's very elongated.
It's like it just occurred to them, wait a minute, I'm doing okay. This is pretty nice.
Oh, process. Oh, not bad.
I mean, neither one of us want to admit.
What day it is.
Yeah. And Trey's a professional sports journalist, and I really don't want to admit that, I sat in just total darkness last night, depressed.
Oh, really?
I'm sad, man. That was the last time it really sunk in last night. I felt it's the same kind of feeling I had when that last game of Grant and Admiral and that cruise. And you're just kind of sad because it kind of sunk in that I'm never going to see this group of guys play together wearing Tennessee jerseys anymore. So, but anyhow, I digress. Go ahead,
it's
Trey.
Better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
I did talk to Bear. And he was a little down, but that's okay. I think I pulled him out of the dumps in our conversation before I came on with you guys. So we're good. We're good now.
Yeah. Just a little sad.
All right. Good. Well, I'm glad you guys are persevering this afternoon. Trey, before we get into the baseball team and the Vitello situation, tell us about your Omaha trip, man. What was, other than it being a little bit shorter than Tennessee fans might have liked, what was it like out there?
You know what? It's an experience that I hope Tennessee fans get to be a part of in the next couple years again. There were a good amount of folks, but just anybody that follows college baseball, it's a lot of fun, man, because everything's kind of like centered in one area. It's kind of like two blocks. You know, you've got the stadium, you got the hotels, the restaurants, everything. Omaha's so cool. You had the U.S. Olympic swim trials going on right next door. Got to go in there and see a little bit of that, which was very neat. Omaha is just a cool town. I didn't realize, though, I'm staying a mile away from the stadium. I didn't realize I was in the state of Iowa in my hotel. And then when I crossed the street, I am in Nebraska. So I've been thrown off by that part a little bit. But other than that, man, this place is awesome. I really hope Tennessee gets back in the next 2 to 3 years, man, because people need to be able to come out here and enjoy this place. And it was a lot of orange out here. Like, I give credit to Tennessee fans. Like, yesterday, I would say the whole, the right field area, right field line, I'm sorry, just packed out in orange. And you know what? I think even though everything came to an end a little bit early, I do think that they'll go home with a lot of great memories, and I know I am. So it's been fun. Besides having to stay an extra day because I didn't know, if Tennessee would win or lose, other than that, everything's fine.
Of course, there was a lot of orange there, Trey. The other team was Texas.
I mean, come on now. Don't play it like that. That's like ugly burnt orange that really doesn't stand out. That's like Home Depot orange. I don't like that orange. It is what
so
it
Trey,
is.
So, Trey, Trey, you talked about all those Tennessee fans there. Kind of after the game last night, what were the feelings around the Tennessee fans that you did get to interact with? I got to say, just on Twitter and the ones that we were interacting with on the radio, people, I guess after that first initial hour or so, I really feel like nobody was dragging the team or nobody was really complaining that much, but it was a lot of kind of, again, rallying around how successful and how fun of a season it really was. Is that kind of the same way that the people there in Omaha reacted?
Yeah, I got to spend some time with some folks after the game, once got done with write-ups and all that stuff. And, you know, it was kind of upsetting, I guess, a little bit that the season was over, you know, right after. But, you know, but they also appreciated the performance that Tennessee actually put on yesterday, because I think I would agree with a lot of people when saying Tennessee, it wasn't their A game or their B game this past Sunday. It almost felt like, I don't want to say the moment was too much for them, but it was just kind of overwhelming, I think, a little bit. But they came out yesterday, man, and they played pretty darn well. The problem with Tennessee is, guys, and, you know, they did something they haven't done all season, which is leave a tremendous amount of base runners on the path. And, you know, if they don't do that, if Tennessee gets something out of that, I think it was the third inning or fourth inning where they had bases loaded with no outs, you know, what does it look like? Is Tennessee playing on Thursday now? You know, so I Tennessee fans were happy to be here, sad that they had lost, but also understood that, man, they just won 50 games. You made it to the College World Series. You know, you've got a head coach that you think can build a big-time future for the program. And I think that's what you have to take away from this is, you know, you were one of the final eight teams standing in college baseball. And you played a hell of a game yesterday. So I don't think there's anything to hold your head down about, because, you know, Texas can make a run at this thing towards the end. And, you know, so we'll see. But fans were, you know, they were drunk and they were, you know, pretty happy with the whole season. So,
Trey, I'm sure you've seen the report by now, Glenn Gilbo down in Louisiana reporting that LSU is down to three finalists in the search for their next baseball coach. Arizona's Jay Johnson, East Carolina's Cliff Godwin, and the guy at Notre Dame, Link Jarrett. Tony Vitello, conspicuous in his absence on that list. Do you think we can put to bed any lingering uncertainty about Vitello being hired away from Tennessee?
Yeah, I think that's done now, boys. I think that in talking to people in the last couple hours, I think that Tennessee gets this deal finalized, new contract, however you want to call it, contract extension, new contract, however you want to call it, gets that done here very soon. And they also, you know, get everything lined up when it comes to the stadium and all that good jazz, kind of get things finalized, because Tony's been involved with the stadium stuff. And it's like conversations that I've had, you know, with you guys, even on this show. It's like, you know, Tony and Danny White and Donnie Flam and all that, they haven't had long conversations all year. They've been 30-minute conversations here or there. But Tony has been very instrumental in what he wants to do with the stadium part of this, and he's let his agency deal with the contract and the money part. Tony Vitello wants to know that his assistants are taken care of and that, you know, that Q, his strength coach, is taken care of, that, you know, they can get a stadium up to par, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years with what needs to be. And that's been his main concern. And I, you know, the question was asked last night, you know, and we all knew that question was going to come at the end of that press conference. You know, we were prepared for it. They were going to ask him about LSU. And, you know, when he put it out there that he's had zero communication with them, I believed him, because in talking with folks, he hadn't talked with Scott Woodard. He had not talked to, now I'm not saying that his agent had not talked to LSU, and I'm not saying that agent didn't tell LSU, hey, we appreciate it, but we're going to stay where we're at. But I know for a fact Tony did not specifically talk to them, and I think that's where we end up now, where it looks like this thing's coming in for a landing, no pun intended, for them just landing back in Knoxville. But I think that in talking with folks, Tennessee's going to have their coach for the future, and I think they get that thing wrapped up kind of soon. Because when you also look at the names that are out there, and somebody tweeted me and asked me this, and I hate for the long answer, and I'm sorry. But somebody said, okay, well, what if Arizona opens up? Or what if Notre Dame opens up, ECU opens up? You don't have to worry about Tony Vitello taking any one of those jobs. So, you know, I think it's over and done. And, again, I think Don DePlowman, who was here yesterday, along with Danny White, who was here yesterday and at the team hotel last night, I think we're close to getting this thing signed and done.
Well, that's good news for Tennessee baseball for sure. And I think that folks will breathe a sigh of relief. Now, I think what's interesting is, you know, all right, so we're going to get him his money, get his staff paid up and everything. That's one piece of this. But the other piece, the stadium piece, and, you know, that's a little bit different. And it sounds like they've already got some big commitments from donors for that stadium. But, Trey, I mean, you were able to get a hold of the last plans from Populous Architecture for Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And we've all seen those online now. Those look nice, but it sounds like they're kind of ripping that up and going, they might stick with the double-decker porch, but it looks like they're going to do some other things. That takes some time to put those plans in motion. Do you think that we will see any improvement in Lindsey Nelson by the time next season starts?
I think, and this is all just trying to gather information over the last couple days, but even on the stadium stuff. So I was told they can get to work. They think they can get to work and get, like, the double-decker porch thing underway, start going. I'll be interested to see what they do with the left field line. And a lot of people said, okay, well, they've got till February. Well, technically, Tennessee will have fall ball, you know, so they'll be on the field. I don't think any kind of construction would really do much to prevent them from being on the field or anything along those lines. But they do have fall ball coming up. They have the fall World Series, you know, in October, November, you know, then they get ready for the start of the season in February. I think they can get, like, phase one done of this, or at least started. Let me rephrase that, at least started. This is, if you look at the project, and Russ, you know, we've kind of talked about this too, me and Bear, you know, also Tony wants to add a lot of suites. When I say a lot of suites, I'm not talking 20, 30. But he wants to add, you know, at least 10 suites to the stadium for the high dollar donor, you know, to be able to sell the program and whatnot. So, you know, I find it kind of hard to believe you can get all that done before February. I think it's more on a timeline of kind of like what Tennessee football is looking at when it comes to their renovations to the stadium. You know, they're talking about, okay, you know, we'll have it done by the start of the 2022 season. I could see Tennessee start incrementally building up Lindsey Nelson Stadium and having it done by maybe that season, just because it's such a big type of project, if that makes sense.
No, sure, it does. And I don't think that this was ever going to be a thing that was completed in a single year, right? I mean, this was always going to be a phased plan, like you mentioned with Neyland. It's going to take some time. So, but it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, they're able to get done before the end of, before the start of next year.
Well, you've got the initial money too. So let's not, you know, once the contract stuff comes out and once you see, and it's being reported, and I'm about the commitment, and I wrote about this earlier, about the money that donors are committing to Lindsey Nelson Stadium, then you'll realize that this thing has got to be done in different phases. So that's why I think left field and then the double-decker porch, patio type deal, like a Topgolf type deal, gets done first, and then they start worrying about the rest, like the outside of the stadium, which kind of looks like the prison from The Last Castle. So.
Well, it didn't seem to hurt him much this year, so but I agree with that.
No.
With that general assessment. All right, Trey, got to ask some football questions here as we start to turn the page and look ahead towards Tennessee football this fall. Caden Salter, not the kind of headline that Josh Heupel wants to be dealing with, a four-star freshman quarterback, part of another drug-related situation. What do you think? Is there any way he's able to survive this?
I've gone back and forth about this, Russ, and in talking with some folks inside the program. The biggest thing is that Caden Salter was already on probation with the student conduct board coming off the incident in the spring. And add on to the fact that, you know, this would be a whole lot different if he was pulled over for no taillights, registration, driver's license. But you're pulled over with 4 grams of marijuana, which I get it. It's marijuana, blah, blah, blah. We're not here for that conversation. But he was still on probation from the previous incident. So now it's strike two. And are you willing, if you're Josh Heupel, you kind of made a statement already with two other players that haven't returned to the program, which is Martavis French and Isaac Washington, who were suspended earlier. Do you have to come out and make that statement again, you know, kind of solidifying yourself that, hey, look, man, we've given you multiple tries. We told you you were on thin ice. You've been back with the program for 3 weeks, and then you get busted at 3 a.m. on the strip with 4 grams of marijuana. And it's almost like the young man needs a wake-up call, and I don't know if he can continue getting wake-up calls if he just keeps getting, okay, you're suspended, now you're back on the team. I just don't see how that works. And you know, Tennessee's doing their digging, you know, into it. I don't know how much digging they can do. The report is there, you know. So it's hard pressed to me to see him on the team, but I'm not going to rule it out because I understand, you know, Heupel and his relationship with the kids, Russ. But, man, I don't know how you do it, Russell. And I'm kind of asking you this question, too. You know, in talking with folks, they tell me that, you know, they don't see how Josh Heupel can bring him back because this is just a bad look. But then I, you know, you kind of look at it on the flip side. It's like, okay, he's going to go somewhere else. And they're not worried about that part. But I just don't see how you bring back somebody that just got off suspension 3 weeks ago. What kind of tone are you setting in Knoxville around your program if you allow something like that? And I'll end it with this part. It might not even be up to Josh Heupel, because if the student conduct board says, hey, you're suspended for a year, there's nothing Tennessee or Heupel can do about it.
No, Trey, this is Bear jumping in here. There's not. I'm very familiar with through past experience and having a family member who is, when they worked at UT, were part of it. And I mean, this is beyond Heupel and the athletic department now. So I agree totally with what you're saying, but where I'm at with him now specifically is it sounds like he may need to go home and either that or, you know, go the junior college route. He needs to do some growing up.
He hasn't done anything like that. And that's the other thing here too. And I'm not saying this to damn the kid in any way, but all he's done since he's been here is worked out a little bit with the team in the winter. Okay, and then had 2 weeks of workouts in June. So what? You haven't done anything else. You haven't been around the program all spring. You were back for 2 weeks, and now you get in trouble again. It's like any other time, like any other player, I think, or the previous regime, whatever. If a player would have been arrested or cited or anything in the student conduct board twice in a span of 3 months, for the same type of deal, not the same, I don't want to say the same, but marijuana being at the forefront of both situations, I don't see how that player would return to the team. So why would they make an exception for Caden Salter? I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that he's not, I mean, it's like you said, there's one central thing. If it wasn't for marijuana, he doesn't get arrested the other night.
Well, also, let's not, you know, in the police report, they cited Amari McNeil with simple possession and let him go. But they got Caden with, you know, the registration and not being able to see his license and his tail lights were all messed up, no driver's license, all that stuff. I mean, you're going to get arrested for a misdemeanor charge most of the time if you're driving on a suspended license there. So, you know, I just think it's too much. But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Heupel decides to bring him back. I just don't know how you're making a statement to your football program, especially a new one, if that's the route that you want to go down. So we'll see how that plays out. I can't believe it's football time. I mean, season, baseball season ended yesterday. Felt like basketball season ended, you know, a month or two ago, and now, you know, we're already into the football with media days. We're 2.5 weeks away from media days in Hoover, so it's all just coming on at once. But we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say, we got 2 weeks till media days, so not quite right. Football. There's got to be a transition, man. Maybe if there were, the expectations were a little bit higher, we'd just jump right in. But safe travels, Trey.
I think you're going to see you're going to get about 5 days worth of content once Tony signs that contract, and then you got Lindsey Nelson to talk about and the renovation, and then you bleed right into the SEC media days. So you're good, guys. You're good.
No doubt. Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider. Safe travels back to Knoxville, and we will see you soon.
Hey, boys, thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great time out at Old Ben Franklin, and always appreciate you guys, and love you. Have a great day. Peace.
All right, love you too, bud. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from Old Ben Franklin Motors, and we're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio Drive continues live this afternoon from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Want to thank Jet's Pizza for providing us with some food once again out here this afternoon. Some barbecue deep dish was really phenomenal. Had a piece of that and to enjoy that earlier today. Jet's Pizza in Farragut. If you're looking for something to feed the wife and kids with on the way home today, swing by Jet's Pizza in Farragut. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Great place to watch the College World Series if you're still into that.
Great place to maybe go see the Godfather Nate. He might be hanging out just on a random weekday.
You never know who you're going to run into. Jet's Pizza in Farragut next to the Shrimp Dock on Kingston Pike in West Knoxville. Open the phone lines here, 865-546-8200. Bear, do you know what cinematic masterpiece opened in theaters on this day in 1989?
89?
No.
It's kind of a lost year for me, Russ.
32 years ago, Bear.
I don't remember anything coming.
You want a clue?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Hit me.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Batman
with Michael Keaton.
Never. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses.
Let's get nuts.
That was a classic.
Oh,
wow. That's the Jack Nicholson Joker too. Oh, yeah, old school.
Yeah, we got a 12. I saw that movie on a date, and we got a 12-pack in there. The old Kingston, not Kingston 4, where the art gallery is over there in Kingston Pike now. That theater. Saw it on the main screen there.
So. I don't know if you knew this, but 89 was stacked for movies.
What else we have?
Batman, Field of Dreams, Major League, Weekend at Bernie's, Roadhouse, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Dead Poets Society, Karate Kid Part 3.
I mean,
garbage. But
I feel so blessed to have grown up in the era that I did. I mean, all those movies came out that summer. I was 9 years old.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, I feel for you. I feel for all of you who weren't born in the year of 1980.
Do you think we're pretty much done with originals? Original movies, original TV?
I hope not.
Like, I feel like Disney's next project is just making their animated movies.
I mean, remakes and everything, that's obviously in vogue, but I think there's always going to be a market for quality, creative content. And the more remakes and unoriginal ideas, uninspired ideas you see out there, just make the good ones stand out that much more.
I mean, where's the next Beastie Boys coming from? You know, the next, name any. They're just, to me, it's been on a downhill slide since 2000. A very slow, gradual descent and just completely regurgitated crap. So, but anyhow.
Speaking Indiana Jones, did you see where Harrison Ford injured his shoulder on the set of Indiana Jones 5 this week? And they had to shut down production because, you know, Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I saw where they're going to do that deal. I don't know if you ever saw The Irishman on Netflix, Russ, where they,
yes,
where they de-aged.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I,
they
I,
are going to do that.
Is that, yeah. Did you read that too, Rick?
Yes, I definitely did.
Yeah. So I don't, that's going to be kind of, I thought that looked really odd.
So. Me too.
I think we're going to get a lot of like flashbacks, I would assume. Indiana Jones, well, old life and things like that.
There was the scene in The Irishman where Robert De Niro is beating up a much younger man. Robert De Niro's got to be pushing 80 now. And it just didn't look like, you think about Scorsese, you know, he knows how to do a violent beatdown scene, right? And like that just did not do it for me. So I hope that, I don't know, the Indiana Jones franchise. I mean, listen, I'll go see it. But the last one, the Crystal Skull thing.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf,
not even
real bad.
Yeah,
it's like pizza. Don't deny it. It's just like pizza. Even when it's
favorite.
Well, yeah, Pizza Hut's a goat. Don't get me sidetracked on pizza.
I think he's talking about Indiana Jones movies.
But I like that answer too.
I mean, it's an Indiana Jones movie. I mean, if it comes on a Sunday afternoon and there's not, you know, I'll sit and watch it. It's all right. Don't be too hard on Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Guy, Rick. Last Crusade, one Indiana Jones
well,
movie.
Sure.
Oh yeah,
sure. Speaking of movies and shows, I had a question for you guys. I want to get your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Involving Caden Salter. Now, he's from Cedar Hill, DeSoto area down in Texas. You think this is some of this is just he's a product of, I mean, it was Caden Salter. You know, like Friday Night Lights, where he probably, when he was in high school, if he got stopped for something silly like this, it'd just be swept under the rug. That's what I wonder about him. If this is a kid that's gotten away with stuff.
It did make me think of the Jeremy Pruitt video that came out where he's talking to the cop and he says, "This is the silliest bleep I've ever seen. I've been at three places," and all this. Like you do wonder if maybe they could have done something to sweep this thing under the rug. But I don't know, Bear. I'm sure that Heupel and his coaches had a sit down with him after the last incident and said, "Look, man, you are very fortunate to still be on this football team. Two of your teammates who were involved in this incident are no longer here. This is your warning." You know, Trey said earlier, you hope this is a wake-up call. That should have been his wake-up call, the first incident.
Exactly.
And to turn around and do this again, no, man, I don't put it up to star mentality or anything like that. Right. I hate to pick on an 18-year-old kid. I just put it up to youthful stupidity. Quite frankly,
it's incredibly poor judgment. And it's just that's why I said to Trey, I just think this is a kid that probably needs to go to JUCO and grow up. But the other part of it is it's not going to be, I mean, since it was just right on top of each other and in such incredibly poor judgment, he's going to have a harder time, even if he does go JUCO or into the portal, of getting somebody to take a chance on him. I mean, hell, he's been arrested twice and he hasn't practiced once, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be surprised if he's able to hang on. And if they are to give him a third chance, man, I'm not gonna put it down to Josh Heupel running some sort of a renegade program. I don't think these are the worst offenses we've ever seen athletes commit over there by any stretch of the imagination. But there is also an element of it's your first year. You're trying to establish the way your culture is going to operate over there. And if you have one of the crown jewels of your first recruiting class getting quote unquote star treatment, you do wonder what kind of message that sends to the rest of your roster. So I would not be surprised to see him kicked off the team. But we'll see. Time will tell. Folks, we're live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Come on out. See us. We got some Smokies tickets for you. You come on out. Get a four-pack, family four-pack of free Tennessee Smokies tickets. Go see some baseball. These are field-level vouchers redeemable for any regular season Smokies game this year. 9711 Kingston Pike across from Franklin Square. Check out the new Mitsubishi's. To heck with the 2021s. We've got the 2022s out here today. Come test drive a brand new Outlander. As always, Old Ben makes it easy to get the car loan you need. They own the bank. They'll work with you to secure whatever type of car loan your situation demands. You can always shop the inventory online right now at oldbenfranklinmotors.com. Or again, just come on down and see us, 9711 Kingston Pike, right here, Old Ben Franklin Motors. Coming up next hour on the show, me visiting with our buddy Aaron Torres. It's been a moment since we visited with AT.
He's pretty fired up,
his thoughts on a variety of things. I know that he's been big into the college baseball, so we'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's run there and some basketball as well. As we have not mentioned big news today. Rick might have more on this coming up here at the top four at four. The SEC Big 12 Challenge in basketball. Bear, did you see who our opponent is this year?
Bring it on, Texas. We've whooped you before in basketball.
Rick Barnes makes his return. The game is in Austin.
Awesome.
Going back to Texas.
Slick Rick.
And maybe a chance for the Vols to get a little bit of revenge from what happened yesterday. We should have a very, very talented team. We'll talk to Aaron about that.
I think that's going to be fun.
You think Vitello? You think Vitello will be in attendance?
He might.
That'd be pretty
cool. He might be down there carrying the flag.
That'd be awesome.
Hour number two of The Drive coming up. We're live. Old Ben Franklin Motors, West Knoxville. Two more strong hours headed your way right after this on Fan Run Radio.